Book of Proverbs in the chapter 10. The book of Proverbs would probably be the favorite book that I have, the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. Every time you read something of Proverbs, you come away with instruction, and of course that's what the book is meant to be. We want to commence to read at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 10 and the verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh the glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy precious word. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless today. Would you count yourself to be a wise or a foolish person? What would you have to say? Every church, it doesn't matter what church it is, all of those churches have their characters. And if you would look across the congregation here in Coleraine, you would maybe describe some people in the place as being a very wise person. And it's maybe a member of session, maybe a member of committee, maybe just an ordinary congregational member. And if you had a problem or if you were seeking out someone to give you advice, you would go to that person because in your mind they would be someone of wise counsel. Maybe as you would look across the place today, there might be those people who you would deem to be foolish. And you would say, no, absolutely not. That is the last person that I would ask for counsel or advice or instruction from them. Maybe it's a family member. Or maybe the wisest counsel that you have comes from maybe your wife or maybe even your children or maybe somebody at work, maybe a godly Christian at work. And you would seek counsel from them and you would ask them because you deem them to be wise. How would we describe you today? Would you say today that you're wise? Or would you say today that you are foolish? As you look at all that you have accomplished in life so far, you look at your education, you look at your job, you look at your family, you look at all of your achievements, whether in our eyes they be great or small, it doesn't matter because you have achieved them and they are good for you. As you look at all that you have accomplished in life, would you say that you have spent your life wisely? Would you say that in all that you have done, you would say, yes, I am a wise person? As you look at what you have accomplished in life, you maybe conclude that you're wise. But as we step back today and as we look at what we have accomplished for eternity, can you say today that you are wise? I heard just this week of a man who passed away some time ago. And of course, whenever somebody dies, the estate is all different procedures, the will and various things is carried out. And they reckon his estate is worth somewhere in the region of £30 million. Very wealthy businessman. I remember him whenever I was a youngster growing up. A man, a very shrewd man, a very godly man. But yet, his estate was worth around about £30 million. In the eyes of the world, as far as a business goes, he was very shrewd and very wise. But what about eternity? Are we wise concerning the things of eternity? The verse I want to look at today is verse 5. And it simply says this, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. I want every single person in Coleraine today to be a wise son. If you're a Christian today, I want you to be wise. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to be wise and I want you to seek Christ. I want you to come to know him as your own and personal Saviour. This verse is an encouragement and a warning for all those of us today who are Christians. Those of us who are in the Lord's work. In fact, every Christian ought to be in the Lord's work. You know, it's an easy thing to stand back and look at the oversight, to look at the ministers, evangelists, children's workers, youth leaders, and say how it must be for them to be in the Lord's work. Every single Christian ought to be in the Lord's work. These words in verse 5 are very applicable for an earthly harvest. I don't know if there's any farmers here today, but if you ask any farmer, he will say that a wise son will gather in the summertime when the weather is good, when the conditions are right. They will be out in the harvest field working hard. My granddad always used to say, we got to make hay when the sun shines. And that's so true. And of course, the farmer will say, the son that sleeps, the son that is lazy, he brings shame. A lazy son is no good to any farmer. And so it is for the spiritual harvest. This ought to be the business that every Christian should be in. It's our business to seek to gather precious souls into the kingdom of the Lord. I want to consider four simple things very quickly. I know time is marching on today, but I want to think of these four simple things very quickly, and I believe that they are applicable to you today. It doesn't matter today whether you count yourself a great Christian. It doesn't matter what level up the Christian ladder, as it were, you deem yourself to be. If you're here today and you say that you're saved, these things apply to you. These things apply to you. The first thing that we notice is the privileges. The privileges. The days in which we live in, we have the privilege of living in summer days. The days that we live in are days of summertime. They are the harvest days. They are the days that we have opportunity to gather in the souls of men. This is still the day of grace. We still live today in days when people are invited to trust Christ. The Reverend John Morrow will conclude a two-week gospel mission today in Ballymoney. One soul, to our knowledge, got saved. This little girl got saved on Thursday night. He had a mission in Dungannon. In the bush outside Dungannon, where about 14 souls came to know the Lord as their Savior. I was talking to friends of mine last night, and in their church there are people getting saved, children getting saved, and then mommy gets saved, and daddy's under conviction of sin. The Lord is working in the hearts of men, because today we are living in summer days. Today we are living in days of grace, a time when sinners can be invited to come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, friend, today if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, you are living in God's day of grace. It would pay you to sit up and listen to the gospel message. We are living today in a day of opportunity, a day when you would be able to lay hold on eternal life, a day when you would be able to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The day of grace is the day of invitation. Now, what you maybe said to me today, what does the day of grace mean? What does it mean? Well, what does it mean in relation to God? There's a lot of scripture references that we could use for this one. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the other one that we want to think about is Revelation 22 and the verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So those verses, as far as God is concerned, that tells us today that we are still in the day of grace. That you, unsaved friend, are still able to get saved. One day, the day of grace is going to run out. One day, there's going to come a time whenever you'll not be able to get saved. The invitation, the opportunity, God's salvation will not be offered for you. And there's coming a day, of course, for the Christian whenever the time of preaching will be over. The time of praying for our family will be over. The time of invitation for our family will be over. So we need to work in the days of summertime. We need to work in these harvest days. What does the day of grace mean in relation to the church? What does it mean in relation to men and women? It means that they have opportunity to get saved. It means that they have opportunity to get right with God. It means that they have opportunity to listen and to hear God speak. We have references for this. Turn just to one. It's Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and the verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There is a verse of invitation. That verse is applicable to you today because we are still in God's day of grace. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. These are summer days of opportunity. Days when we can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think of Coleraine as a town. You think of the numbers of people in this town just down the road there. The vast estate that is in there. And as you drive around the whole town, houses absolutely everywhere. And where you find houses, you find children. Where you find children, you find adults. People all over this town, not saved, know nothing of God's grace and goodness in their life. And here we are sitting in a church today with God's word in our hand, with the good news of the gospel in our heart. And how backward we are, how careless we are in sharing this news with the people of our very own town, whether it be Ballymoney, whether it be Tandragee, whether it be Portadown, whether it be Coleraine, it doesn't matter. There are Christians all over the place. And we are so careless in spreading the good news of the gospel. You know, the Christian church today, and Christians in general, I meet them all the time, and they shake their head in despair, and they're so discouraged. They're so despondent, and they say, oh, times are tough. The work is hard. Sin is going on in leaps and bounds. The devil is everywhere. And they would almost have you so discouraged that you're ready to throw the towel in the work yourself. Listen, these are terrible days of sin. Sin is on the increase. The devil is so very busy. These are days of discouragement, days of disinterest when people don't come to Sunday school. They don't come to church. But listen, we are living in days today of great opportunity. Days of opportunity when we are still able to preach the gospel, when we are still able to witness. We have still life in our body to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that sin is on the increase, but listen, we ought not to be worried about that. Our concern is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Are we using our opportunities? Are we gathering souls? Are we bringing in the harvest? That's the privilege that we have. Notice with me also the harvesters. Who does God use in his harvest field? Who are they? Well, those whom the Lord uses as his harvesters in the day of opportunity are his sons. Those sons. The qualification for service is sonship. Matthew 21:28 says, son, go work today in my vineyard. There's a word for the Christian. Every time I read that verse, there's one word stays in my mind, and it's today. Today. So many Christians, they think about work in my vineyard. Ah, some other time, I'll work in his vineyard tomorrow. But listen, God says, son, go work today in my vineyard. Go work today, because we mightn't have tomorrow. We are not naturally God's sons by nature. By nature, we're sinners. By nature, our back is to God. Our face is to sin, but a work of grace has been wrought in our heart and in our life. We're saved. We belong to Jesus Christ. Our sins are washed away. We are heading home to heaven. We are sons and daughters of God, and that qualifies us to serve him. That allows us to go today and work in his vineyard. There are some people today who do the work of harvesting. There are some people today, and they are in God's work, and they have never been born again. They have never been adopted into God's family. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." If you are saved today, you have been adopted into God's family. There are those today in God's work, and they're not saved. They are not saved. They are not a true child of God. And you maybe said to me, "Mark, that can't be. Surely all those people today who say that they're a minister, who say that they're an evangelist, who say that they are a missionary, who say that they are a Christian, surely all of those people are saved. Surely all of those people are born again." Well, they're not. They're not. Because I have met them. What a sad thing to be one of God's sons, one of God's own children, saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and not to be engaged in God's work. Surely you say to me, "Mark, surely that couldn't happen. Surely there couldn't be those Christians, those people genuinely saved, genuinely washed in the blood of the Lamb, that don't serve the Lord, that don't do a work for Him." You say, "That couldn't be true." Well, I say it is, because I've met them. In fact, there may even be those here today in Coleraine, and you're saved. You're a child of God. And you have been so very wise concerning the things of this life. You have a lovely home. Financially, you are fine. You have a great job. You have a lovely family. And all of the things that you want and need in this life, you have got them. But as far as eternity is concerned, you are bankrupt. You're bust. You have nothing there. I was talking to a little man on the doors this week, and he was an evangelist with the Faith Mission for 47 years. 47 years he was an evangelist. God called him as a teenager, and he heard the call of God. And 47 years of his life, up until now, he has given that over to the Lord. And I told him about my work and all about it, about Albert and all of the rest of it. And he said, "Son, I have a little bit of advice for you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." He said, the seeking first is what concerns us. The all other things is what concerns God. And do you mean to tell me that over the 47 years of service that that little man gave the Lord, there wasn't times when he was discouraged? There wasn't times when he hadn't a few pound in his pocket to jiggle? Do you mean to tell me there was times whenever things weren't hard for him? Of course they were. But the Lord had burned that verse in his heart. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things, they'll be added unto you." And that's a little man over his life. He has proved that time and time again. I'll tell you, there's not many Christians, myself included, that take Matthew 6:33 to heart and live it every day of our lives, because we don't. We look at the bank balance, we look for a job, we try hard and we think that it's all done of ourselves. Listen, the Bible tells me, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." We are the harvesters. We ought to be working in the Lord's harvest field. We're a Christian. We ought to be serving the Lord every single day of our life. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." Notice with me also the sons. The sons. We have discovered who the harvesters must be. They are to be sons of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, God has two types of sons. There's two types of sons in God's family. There are those who are wise. Look at the verse. There are those who are wise, but there are also those who are foolish. Some sons are disobedient. The language of the New Testament calls them carnal. We don't have time today to look at it. It's 1 Corinthians 3 and the verses 1 to 4. And there it talks about carnal Christians. It talks about those Christians who have their affections placed upon the things of the world. God has some sons, and we could call them carnal. He has also those sons, and we could call them prodigal. We think of Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. He belonged to that family. He was still the son of his father. His father still loved him, but he had went his own way. He had gone to do his own thing. He had forgotten about his father. He had forgotten about his family home. He had forgotten about all of the things that he had ever been taught. God has those sons, and they're prodigal sons. They are rightly related to Him. They are the sons of God. They have been born into the family of God, but we don't follow on to know Him more. As we live our lives from day to day, as a son of God, we don't have that desire to love Him more, to get to know Him more, to serve Him better, to do a work for God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen." I told you about a man that his estate was worth around $30 million. In the same conversation, that little woman told me, she says, she knew a man and he passed away and they were going through his things and in his wallet he had £30. £30. But that little man with the £30, he went all around the country singing and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. One man died at 59, the other man died at 63. But listen, it's not about the things of this world, but it's about what's up there in the great kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me, Christian, today, are you a wise son? Are you a foolish son? Are you growing in grace? Are you knowing Him more? Are you neglecting to fulfill the purpose for which you have been saved, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? In the verse before us, we see the wise and the foolish sons. They're described here for us. Those wise sons, they gather in the summertime, in the harvest time. The foolish sons are those that sleep. Those lazy sons, apathetic. Wise sons will reap a glorious harvest, which is pleasing and which brings honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish sons will bring shame to the name of their father. Amos 6:1 says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Are we wide awake? As a Christian today, are you wide awake? Are you wide awake for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you seeking every day that God gives you strength to serve Him, to know Him, to love Him? We need to serve the Lord. Notice with me, lastly, the sleepers. The sleepers. There are sleepers in God's Word everywhere. Are you today fast asleep? A man told me a wee while ago, he said, you know, the problem with Christians today is that they are so sound, they're sound asleep. Christians today are so sound, they are sound asleep. And do you know what he meant by that? He meant that the Christian church today is so sound doctrinally. They know all of the issues. They know all of their theology. They can discuss and debate all of the issues of God's precious Word. But as far as winning souls and caring for the souls within the church, they are fast asleep. Fast asleep. To be asleep in these summer days is to bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't really care what theology you know. I don't really mind how much of the Bible you could discuss and debate on eschatology or any of those other great theological issues. But listen, how many times have you told a sinner that they need to be saved? How many times have you been out on the doors of Coleraine, knocking the doors of the friends and neighbours of this town, simply telling them that they need to be saved? How many times have you sat down with your children, with your family, with your parents, and said, listen, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. You need to be ready for heaven. We can talk about the price of cattle. We can talk about mortgages. We can talk about the credit crunch. We can talk about eschatology, about the end times, about all of these other things. And we know the things so very well. But we never talk about salvation. We never tell them they need to be saved. We never tell them that they must be born again. They must be ready to meet their God. I was visiting a young fella that I know probably a couple of months ago now. And over his illness of a year and a half, I hadn't been able to go and visit him because his family wouldn't allow me. And I went one day. I felt the Lord had laid it on my heart to go and visit him. And I went into the house on the Monday. The father said to me, "You have 2 minutes. 2 minutes." He was so very frail and so very sick. I had witnessed to him in work. I had all my preaching done. His mind wasn't able to deal with it. His body wouldn't have been able to have discussed it anyway. And I went into him and I knew the time was short for him. And I said to him, I called him by his name and I said, listen, you ever think about getting saved? You ever think about the Lord? He says, no. He says, I wouldn't have the faith to believe it. I says, why would you not have the faith to believe it? He says, I just wouldn't have. I says, listen, called him by his name. I says, Jesus died for you on the cross. I said, heaven is real, hell is real, death is real. I said, surely you know that by now. He knew that he was going to die. That was on the Monday. He passed away on the Sunday night. Time, so very short. Listen, are you sleeping today? Are you a wise or are you a foolish son? Do you know the Lord? Are you saved? Are you out working for Him in His harvest field? 1 John 2:28 says, and now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You know, I was thinking about the great books of God, and with this I close. I was thinking about the great books of God, and as God records all of the events in our lives, the things that we do, the things that we say, you know what a day that's going to be whenever the books of God will be opened. And as I was preparing this message, I discovered these words here. I don't know if they're a poem or a song, but I want you to listen to these words. And it's whenever we come to stand before the Lord, as we stand before that throne, I want you to listen to this. Shall I be empty-handed when beside the crystal sea I shall stand before the everlasting throne? Must I have a heart of shame as I answer to my name with no works that my Redeemer there can own? What regret must then be mine when I meet my Lord divine? If I've wasted all the talents He doth lend, if no soul to me can say, I'm glad you passed my way. For 'twas you who told me of the sinner's friend, when not faded leaves, when I see my blessed Savior face to face. You know, I wonder whenever we come to be in heaven, through the great corridors of glory, I wonder will there be any souls there. And they'll come up to us, they'll shake us by the hand and they'll say, I'm glad you passed my way. I'm glad that you told me about Jesus. Because it was through your witness and through your word that I found Jesus as my own and personal Savior. Are you a wise son today? Or are you a sleepy son? Are you a foolish son? You're so sound. You're sound asleep. Let's close our time today in a word of prayer.